Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at several verses. And I'd like to speak this morning on the topic 10 traits for Christian success. And these traits are all going to come from this chapter of the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. 10 traits for Christian success. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I do thank you, as was mentioned, for what was done yesterday. Lord, I thank you that when the gospel goes forth, God, that your power has not diminished, Lord, and people are still all around our area, all around this country, around the world, Lord, that need to be saved and will respond, God, when they hear that truth. Thank you, God, for working, and I pray, Lord, for some that had the seed planted and are considering these things. Lord, I pray that these next several weeks we have much opportunity to follow up, that you'd, Lord, open other hearts, God, and many, many more will come to know you. We pray, Lord, as we look into this important chapter and see, God, the truth that you have given here, Lord, how that you work through us step by step. I pray, Lord, that whatever step it is that we need to take next, that we would be willing to do so. And Lord, that you would use these truths today to stir some hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. These traits form, I believe these 10 traits from this passage form a progression that Paul realized that the believers here at this church would need to go through in order to reach eventual success. Success doesn't come overnight. We've heard that, right? There's steps to take to get to saying this was a success or I was a success in this area. It doesn't happen overnight. There's a series of steps that have to take place, and I think the Holy Spirit used Paul to help this church and by extension to help you and I realize that our Christian life isn't something that we're just going to snap our fingers and we're ultimately where we need to be. There's steps. It takes time. It takes diligence. It takes getting back up off the ground and getting back on track. Where did we get off track at, and going back to that place and taking those steps. And so I think these apply to us today just like they did when this church first read this letter. So all I ask today is that you would test your life not by what I say but by God's word. I'd ask you to always do that when you come to chapel. Forget about the person beside you. Forget about what's happening at 12 o'clock. When God's word, when you come to God's word, whether it's you yourself or whether a preacher is preaching, I just ask that you would consider your life in the light of God's word. And if things are good and the part that you've read or the part that you've heard preached, you're fine with that. You've got it all together in that. Praise the Lord. All right? We can grow, and we can have victory, and we can be in a place where, hey, we read that, and we're encouraged that the Lord's dealt with us, and we've got that taken care of. But on the other hand, if you're reading the scripture or you're hearing the Bible preached, and there's something that needs changed or needs fixed, don't wait. Don't wait. This life will pass you by, and you'll be waiting to fix things. I'll just do just a little bit more. Don't wait. Just get with God and get it right so you can continue to take the next steps. God wants the best for you, not the minimum, not the least. God wants the best for you. Heard last night, God wants to use us. We can just think about that for a little while. Who gets used? What tool gets used? The one that's available, the one that can still be sharpened, right? If it can't be sharpened, the handle's broken, it's not usable. It gets put aside. But if you're here, the Lord has a plan for you. You're usable. You're in a good place. But all tools need to be sharpened. All Christians need to constantly go to the Bible and ask the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do today? What do you have me to learn today? So these steps, I think, are very clearly given beginning in verse 8. What happened here is this man, Epaphras, who was one of the members of the church here. Apparently, he shows up in Philemon as well. And later on here in chapter 4 of this book, he had a special love for this church. And he reported back to Paul that the church at Colossae has a tremendous amount of love. And that fact, the fact that the church at Colossae loved God, caused Paul to do something. We see what he prayed here in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, heard what? This church loves God. These people love God. And what did Paul then do? Immediately he never stopped praying for the remainder of these traits that they might come into this church. The first trait for success in the Christian life is that original trait that the church at Colossae had, and that is love. Right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. These Christians knew God's love, and that made a difference in their life. When a person is down and discouraged and they stay there and there's never any rectifying of that problem, that's a problem for a Christian. Okay. God's love for us is unchanging. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's consistent. God loves us. He gave his son for us. That love of God that we receive when we're saved then in turn goes out to other people. Look at John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we see this love. True love never stays in one place. It always results in someone caring, showing that they care, investing in someone else. Look at this verse, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Trait number one is God's love in you, and that love of God in you being obvious to the people that you come in contact with. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do you love God? Do you know in your heart that you love God? He gave his son to die on the cross for you. He gave everything he could to you. Do you love your brethren? If a Christian doesn't love their brethren, doesn't love those around them, they're going to be miserable. John says they abide in death. Abide means to live or to remain in death. What kind of life is that? What kind of life is it to live in death? How do you get out of that? Get your attitude right toward those around you. You're not going to make the person around you perfect. That's impossible. You're not going to make the people around you think exactly like you. That doesn't matter. That's not what God says to do. What does he say? He says to love the brethren. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's simple. We make it complex when we say, but. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it on God's terms. Love was the first trait. After love, what happened? Verse 9. For this cause also, back in Colossians chapter 1, that'll be our text, Colossians 1. Now verse 9, step 2. Paul knew about their love. Can't get anywhere in God's service when we forget God's love for us. So if you're here today and you say, you know what? I just have forgotten how much God loves me. I've forgotten how much Calvary did for me. I've forgotten about that. I've forgotten to love the very people that God's put in my life. I've stopped doing that. Well, get that taken care of, because there's no step two unless step one's taken care of. All right, can't jump over these steps. Let's look at verse 9. Step 2. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I put these three thoughts together. Step 2 is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Step 2, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Okay, what book of the Bible do we think of when we think of these three terms primarily? What's the first book that comes to mind? If you're thinking Proverbs, then you and I are thinking alike, because you can't help read a chapter in Proverbs without running into one of these words: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Do you think the Apostle Paul knew the book of Proverbs? I think he knew the book of Proverbs inside and out. And he knew that for these people to take the next step, the Church of Colossians to take the next step, they needed to move past the love of God and begin to gain a knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from God's Word. All right. It's often said a good habit to get into is to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. That will never get old, because every day that you do that, you'll say, wow, I missed that last month. Man, I really need that today. I need that. Proverbs is practical wisdom that you and I can use regularly. So step two in this passage is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So that's our foundation: love of God, love for others, followed by a foundation of Scripture, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And then we get to verse 10. That, or for the purpose of, or that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. So number three, step three is our Christian walk, how we actually live our lives. All right, God's love's first, then a Bible knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and now we can live our Christian life. We can take those practical steps. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Here Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So the breakdown of the book of Ephesians is chapters 1 through 3 talk about the doctrine, but verses chapters 4 through 6 begin to tell us how to live. So walking is, how do you live? How are we living? It's interesting to me that before it's time to live the Christian life and actually put it into practice, we have love and we have knowledge, we have wisdom, we have understanding. Now we're ready to live. Number four comes also from verse 10, comes right after this next phrase, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Not just living the Christian life, not just walking through the Christian life, but producing fruit. Again, the worst thing about preaching chapel on Monday is that a lot of what is being said was said the night before. And so I can just save time, actually, refer back to that. Are you producing fruit? Are you fruitful? Are you fruitful? Are you fruitful? Compare yourself with the Bible. Not me, not somebody else. Are you bearing fruit? Two types of fruit we know for Christians. One is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the character traits that you grow in and you develop through your submission to God and God's will and saying no to your own will. The other fruit is fruit that remains. It's people that God uses you to reach. And you know what? It's true. It's difficult sometimes to be bold to speak to everybody that we should speak to. It's difficult. I'm first to say that. I'm not the first. I'll be one of many to say that. That's a challenge. The devil, immediately, whenever the Lord says, what about them? If your mind works like mine, the first thing that the devil puts in is a reason why not to. There was a home yesterday that, I don't know, I would say, well, from one home, 12 people came to church, and Three of those were adults, and nine of those were young people. And it was Wednesday, and someone was out, and they said, you know, I remember what happened last time when I stopped by that door. Should I go by again? And the devil, of course, says, no, don't waste your time. You know what they're going to say. But the Lord says, don't give up on that person. Don't give up on them. That's why we have bus ministries that go out 52 weeks a year. None of you college kids are going to be bus captains. You're not going to be bus captains. Our bus captains are here, and they're here 52 weeks out of the year, and we're going out when you're home on Christmas break. We're going out all summer long with ties on, sweating in the 95% humidity and the 95-degree weather. And people are looking at us, you're wearing that in this weather, but you know what we're able to say back? You're wearing that in any weather? So it works both ways. You know, you can give them the look too. I'm not the only one that have to look at them weird. Just who's defined weirdness? I would just rather wear this than the Halloween costumes that I see most weeks out of the year. So the point is, we're going to be there. And why are we going to be there every week? Because we don't want to give up on people. We want to get out there, and we're going to go see people that, you know, didn't come last week. You didn't come last week, you know what? Shame on you. You're off my list. Never come to see you again. So that'll serve you right. That's not the way it works. Why is that not the way it works? Because that's not the way it works with God. He can do that to you. He can do that to me. Oh, you sinned that? You did that sin again? Forget you? Okay, find a different father. I'm done with you. He didn't do that to us. We don't do that to other people. And so we have this example where the lady goes to the door and talks to this woman, you know, and the life had really worked her over to the place where she was ready to get back to the spiritual hospital. And we're still here. You know, she left it. We're still here. And she just didn't come. She brought 11 with her. And so we get there, and that's just one of many blessings that could be repeated. If we sat down and talked with any of you that went ahead and were on the bus, not too many people. A guy said it like this. No guy that's ever done a workout has ever finished it and said, oh, that was a waste of time. Why did I waste my time? That was stupid. That was dumb. I just wasted 45 minutes working out. Oh, brother. Now, you know what you think about before you start, right? Or maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes? I hate this. I can't stand this. Why am I doing this? And you know how bad you feel if you let that first 10 minutes cause you to quit? Ooh. But you go all the way through the end, you say, that was worth it. That felt good. And so we don't quit. Amen. We don't quit. We're not going to bear fruit if we quit. We're not going to bear fruit if we're not sure how committed we're going to be to God's work. Ask God to use you. Fruit bearing. What does it take to bear fruit? What does it take for a tree to really be fruitful? What does it take for a farmer to have a really productive field? Let's let the Lord tell us that. Let's look at back at John chapter 15. We're building on this foundation, love, and then knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and then beginning to live the Christian life, and then beginning to see fruit come about. And when fruit starts to come, Jesus shows up. Did you know that? You start to bear fruit, Jesus will show up in your life in a new way. Like maybe he's never shown up before. And why is he there? What is he there to do? Good job. Well done. That's great. Good job. Now I'm going to let somebody else take over for now. You just take a break. You did all that I asked you to do. You produced some fruit, and that's good. Go ahead and take it easy now. Let's read John 15. I am the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. He works the vineyard. He works the fields. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch, here it is, that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus shows up when you start to bear fruit, and he purges you. He puts the heat on you. He puts the pruning shears on your life. Whoa, I didn't like that. Whoa, I thought I was bearing fruit. You are. He wants you to bear what? More fruit. So he starts to trim at things, and you have a choice. Ah, I liked that part of me. Yeah, but Jesus knows if he could get that part of you taken away, it's going to open the door for you to do something that right now you don't see that you could do. He wants to purge you. Lord, make me a good Christian. I want to serve you. Watch out. God might just answer that prayer. Ask the Lord to purge you. You ask the Lord to use you. He will try as far as you will let him. He will go as far as you let him. Stop. That's too much. Okay. Take the purging fire away. Put the pruning shears back. Let's let them be. That's not the life to live. That's not what we're here to do. Our life on this earth is too short to push back against the Lord's attempt to help us be what we've asked him to make us into. Fruit bearing, number four. Let's go back to our text in Colossians chapter 1. Being fruitful in every good work. And look at number 5. Here it is, the end of this verse. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, didn't we already see the word knowledge given to us earlier in this passage? We already got that, right? Where it is, let's see here, verse 9. Paul prayed that they might be filled with knowledge. Verse 9. Now, he says at the end of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. But I thought I already had that knowledge. I already attained that. Now I'm supposed to increase? Oh, yes. The most dangerous, the person, the student here that's in the most dangerous position is the one who came here with the I know attitude. That's the most dangerous person. Because you've shut off the ability for the Lord to teach you some things. And I always go back to the fact that there's no person in the Bible that prayed that the Lord would teach him more than King David. And King David was man after God's own heart. And yet, as he grew older, the older he grew, the more he said, I need to learn. I need to be taught. Lord, will you please teach me? So this part, this character trait, is the character trait of always being teachable. When you come and you say, hey, I came from a Christian school. I had Christian parents. And I was saved in an early age. And I memorized Bible all the way through. And here I come to college, and I just think I pretty much know so much because I was trained so well. Well, you can say one of two things when you get to that point. You can say one of two things. I was trained so well, and one of the things I was trained in is that I will never know enough about God. I want more. I want to learn more. I want to be more for God. I want to continue to grow. Or you could say, well, I already taught all that stuff. I already had all this stuff. There's two people. There's basically just two types of people that are sitting here. And that's the two mindsets. I already know that. Here we go again. Or, thank you, Lord, I needed that. And the results are going to be very distinct as well. Two different sets of results. John Adams spent his life learning. Brilliant man. Second president. And he said near the end of his life, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know and still need to know, so I've come to this place, and that is to walk humbly with God. That is the best that I can do. I'm never going to have it all down. I'm never going to learn it all. Teachable. We're loving God. We've gained knowledge, wisdom, understanding. We're walking the Christian life. We're bearing fruit, and we're remaining teachable. Then we get to verse 11. And we see this important trait. Trait number 6, strength from God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Strengthened with all might. Let's look at verse 29 of this same chapter. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. None of this is taking place. You're not getting wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You're not walking right. You're not going to be fruit-bearing. You're not going to be teachable unless you are strengthened from God, not from your own flesh. Strength comes from God. All right? The flesh and the arm of flesh, according to the song, will do what? It will fail you. You'll step out on a limb. You'll step out in front of people. You'll step out into leadership on the arm of flesh. And just when you think everything's going fine, you'll find out what the flesh will do. You'll find out what it means to fall flat on your face. Matt, you wouldn't be the first. I wouldn't be the first. If I begin to trust in the arm of flesh, I will fail. Eventually, I will fail. I might have a facade for a while. I will fail. This verse says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What a challenge that is to remain in the power of God, not in the arm of our flesh. Then God begins to work on us. Look at the end of verse 11. Patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. I put these all three together. The internal traits of patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. The worst thing for someone that's not patient to hear is that, you know, the Bible says you need to be patient. That just makes them more impatient. The worst thing for someone that's down in the dumps to hear is, well, the Lord gives you strength when you're joyful. The joy of the Lord's your strength. And long suffering. These are traits when God begins to work on us inside, make us into a different person, give us a different mindset toward ourselves and toward others. Patience, long suffering, joyfulness. But if we will let the Lord bring those traits into our life, we have gone a long way to saying no to our own will. Because when a person is not patient, they are me first. When a person is not long-suffering, they say, my wants here are more important than being patient and enduring and helping that person. I am more important than them. And when we're not joyful, we have forgotten that we have been purged from our sins. A person that allows the Lord to make them patient, long-suffering, and joyful has become very strong on the inside. Very strong. And that ends, I believe, that follows up with verse 12, which is trait number 8, and that is the response of thankfulness. How do we respond to what happens in our life? Thankfulness. By habit, thankfulness. Lord, what just happened to me today, you knew about. You knew about it. You knew that today I was going to be on cloud 9. Thank you for that. The next day, maybe it was a purge day. Lord, you knew that today this was going to come into my life. Thank you for that. When you commit to thankfulness, you are protecting yourself probably as more than any other character trait. You are protecting yourself from the devil getting a foothold into your life for bitterness and envy and anger and malice and all those things that eat alive a Christian from the inside. When you are thankful, you are protecting your spiritual life from Satan. So the response for all of this back to God is thankfulness. Just two more. When we look at this chapter, we have this prayer of Paul for these traits. And then verses 13 through 22 is a wonderful description of the person of Jesus Christ. Paul goes into all that Jesus Christ has done for us and in our behalf, and how that he is over everything. He is all-powerful. Verse 16, he's before everything. He's the head of our church in verse 18. And then we get down to verse 23. He finishes speaking about the Lord, and he gets down to verse 23, and he says, this important word, and that's this: continue. Continue in the faith. We didn't start this Christian life to go a few years to see how it worked and then quit. We didn't start the Christian life to say, hey, as long as the Christian life is benefiting me and making me happy, I'll stick with it. When it stops benefiting me and I'm no longer happy, I'll find something else. I'll find some other place to invest my money and my time. No, we didn't start like that. Jesus didn't start like that with us. We are challenged to continue. And Paul understands that not everybody's going to. That's why he says if. So I'll say the same thing to you. If you will continue. I wish I could say about all of us, since I know that all of us are going to continue, but that's not the word here, is it? Do you know of any people in the last 5 years that stopped, quit? Yes, we all do. In 5 more years, we can look back on today, and there's going to be, I believe, a large majority that continue. But I'm not naive to think that there'll be some that won't. And so for all of us, we're here today, correct? Here's our verse. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Boy, so many Christians are weak. They're just bounced around. They're not grounded and settled. How do we get grounded and settled? We commit to knowing God's word. We commit to obeying God's word. Look at the rest of this verse. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And then it goes on and talks about other things. But that concept of continuing, Paul knew that concept. He was challenged to quit, I'm sure, many times by the devil. Many of his co-workers quit on him, didn't they? If ye continue. If it's worth starting, it's worth finishing. And then number 10, the last trait, I believe we find it all culminates in this mindset for life in verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Can you see Paul's vigor here? He said, I am going to strive in my Christian life. That's a bad word among many Christianity today. What they like to tell us all is, we all just need to rest. I have a couple of you in here, I can tell. You're lucky Brother Furs ain't here. Ooh, there might be like 3 people standing right now. Not mentioning any names, but, you know, I'm glad I'm standing up here today. I'd hate to be Mr. Ramos or Mr. Mitchell, because Mr. Ramos would have me standing. You want to hit the air there real quick, Mr. Ramos? That might help me too, and everybody else. No, that's all right. Striving. This is the real all-out battle and struggle that we are going to face. The word strive means to agonize, to agonize. All right? When we're struggling, we're agonizing, we're fighting, we're face-to-face with our enemy, we realize that this is not a game. Paul's telling this church, this isn't a game. I am laboring. I am striving according to his working. God is working in Paul, and God is working in Paul mightily. Why is Paul having God working in him mightily? Why is he doing that? Because Paul let him. Paul let him. Paul loved God. He sought wisdom and knowledge and understanding from God. He sought to walk with God. He sought to bear fruit. He remained teachable. He got his strength from God. Philippians 4:13, he tells us that again, doesn't he? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He learned patience, long-suffering. He learned joyfulness in jail, didn't he? Not just jail, in prison. Not any prison, in a dark, ugly pit, really, of prison. Paul was thankful. He wouldn't tell us that, would he, in Philippians 4:6, if he wasn't practicing it. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to the Lord about that. And he was committed to continue. And at the end of his life, what did he say? I finished. Don't you want to be able to say that? I want to be able to say that. I finished. Started. Continued. Finished. That's what I love to say. But all along the way, he gave his all. He was striving. It was an agony at times. It was a struggle. But it was worth it all to Paul. All right. So when we have that roll called up in heaven and we're there, when all of life is ended and our work on earth is done, roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. How will you be when you're there? How will you be? How are you doing with these steps? How's your love? How's your knowledge? How's your walk? How are these things? How's your fruit? The Lord wants to make you fruit bearing. Are you letting them? Are you mad at it? You're mad at circumstances. The Lord knows those circumstances. Thank God. Learn from it. Lord, we ask that you would use this simple thought, Lord, these truths that have been given to Christians for hundreds of years. Lord, they fit with us today. And if there's a need today, Lord, for someone to get back on track and take these steps, I pray they'd not wait. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we will have a brief time of invitation. So won't you go ahead and stand at your seat. If there's a step that you need to take, the Lord has dealt in your heart. We have an invitation open. You can spend some time with him getting that commitment in place.